Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios. Presented to you by your local Hyundai dealers. You're listening to Chicago's number one sports station. 670 The Score is Chicago Sports. Chicago Sports is The Score. An Odyssey station. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. The Score!
This hour is brought to you by Cars for Kids. Call 1-877-CARS with a K, the numeral 4-KIDS.
Unless Javier Baez begins the monster comeback right now. 6-0, Milwaukee over the Cubs here in the ninth. Baez swings and pops one up. Short left center field. Coming in, Bradley. He makes the catch. And that ends the ball game. The Brewers shut out the Cubs by a final of 6-0.
Bernstein and Rahimi, 9 a.m. to noon on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Yeah, kind of a downer of a Cubs weekend, going in with a little bit of energy and exiting with not so much. The Twitter handle for the Bernstein and Rahimi show, at Bernstein Rahimi on Twitter, just posted a handsome picture of our next guest, the Cubs reporter for The Athletic, looking professorial in his official photo for that outlet. And joining us now on the Alpamonte Nissan hotline, Alpamonte Nissan in Melrose Park on North Avenue at apnissan.com. He is Sahadev Sharma, who is on Twitter at Sahadev Sharma. Here he is. Sahadev, how are you?
I'm doing well. My daughter has started to call me the professor. Apparently, I give a lot of advice and thoughtful suggestions to the kids now. So now I'm the professor. So I appreciate the shout out.
A complete coincidence that you know what it means? It means you're parenting. It means they're making fun of you for doing your damn job.
Exactly. I'll take it.
I think the best place to start maybe is advice for the Cubs when facing a Milwaukee Brewers staff that looks like, when you think about Corbin and you think about Woodruff, they're kryptonite. The Friday game aside, that seems to be the formulaic pitcher if you want to know how to beat this specific lineup.
Yeah, you know what? I will say this. I think Woodruff and Burns have taken their games to another level. I think Woodruff, obviously Burns has been well documented. He's special. They didn't have to face him this weekend, but still, that guy seems pretty special right now.
Correct.
Woodruff, I think, has slowly built himself up from, just like, oh, this guy's interesting, to is this guy turning himself into an ace? Like, how good is he? Now, I want to be careful because he's faced the Cubs a lot, and we know that this offense has its ups and downs. So I don't know if he's fully become this special pitcher, but he certainly looks like it. And I will give the Cubs a break for Sunday. I thought what we saw this weekend is more in line with the team we kind of expect them to be, right? I think we've talked about the early season struggles and just how ugly it was on offense. I think we know they're not that bad. I think it was kind of I almost preferred that they start out really bad like that to kind of remind us that, okay, don't get excited when they do turn it on, because we know they have these ups and downs, and that's part of the issue that we've been talking about for years. So it was a nice little reminder that, hey, there's going to be some lulls from this offense. But I just think this weekend was a slightly better Milwaukee team taking 2 out of 3. I even yesterday's game, that final score doesn't represent. That was a really close game. Jason Adam doesn't have it right now. He's kind of searching for his breaking balls. And in that situation, the Brewers took full advantage in the ninth inning or whatever. Yeah, that was the ninth inning. So I just think the Cubs offense is flawed. We've talked about this for a while. And the fact that they were okay against Peralta on Saturday and just couldn't get anything done against Woodruff is what we should expect, I think.
Watching Jake Arrieta work and trying to sequence with him and think the way he's thinking based on our outside judgment of the stuff he has. Only he knows how the ball feels in his hand, obviously, and he's talked about right. that before, and he's very, very self-aware in that regard. But it's really impressive to me for him to still be able to maximize whatever it is he has left, especially with as complex a delivery as he has maintained at a time where so many pitchers are looking at the video of themselves and stripping everything down and simplifying everything. He's still rocking with this particular delivery, and it's a lot of work, I guess, is what I'm saying, what he's doing. It feels like a lot of work, but it's satisfying when he's able to get guys out.
Yeah, I think he's kind of reached this new phase of his career where he doesn't have to rely on pure stuff. And I think, you know, he's made a point to emphasize that he's healthy. I think that's a huge thing for him. I think when you talk about the delivery, he can't do his standard delivery when he's not healthy. So that's going to throw him off. I don't think this is the same delivery that he had in 15 and 16, just because it's really hard to pull off that much of crossfire action. He's a little less crossfire than he was in 15 and 16, but he wasn't able to do that. I think I get lost with all the injuries he suffered in Philly, but there was definitely a season where he was playing on a bad knee, and that just basically eliminated the crossfire delivery for him. To be able to throw the ball, he couldn't do that crossfire delivery. That took away all his effectiveness. I think we're seeing a veteran Jake Arrieta now. This is a different version from 15 and 16. I was very impressed with how he battled through that first inning and only gave up one run. Against Woodruff, obviously one run it can be enough, but that was impressive. To do that, to look that out of sorts in that first inning and then come out with 15 straight outs, I like that. I like seeing that. That shows me that this is a guy, like you said, he knows his body really well. He knows his stuff really well. He knows when something's slightly off. Okay, what wasn't I doing right? Let's correct it. And then the overall numbers yesterday were really strong for him. You saw some swing and miss from the breaking balls. They took a lot of those sinkers, right, that broke back into the zone or caught the edge of the zone. Mm-hmm. I think that's how he wants to pitch now. Catch him off guard with the sinker, get some swing and miss with the breaking balls, and you're going to see a slightly above average pitcher. I want to hold off on anyone ready to say he's back to, you know, previous form.
No.
But he's certainly a quality pitcher, and I think that's what they were hoping for, right? Someone that could be above average, and if they're contending, great. If they're not, hey, this is someone that you want in your rotation if you are contending.
I look at Arrieta and Rodon for the White Sox pretty symmetrically just because of how they were acquired and the fact that Rodon ends up going to the White Sox and Arrieta goes back to the Cubs, and how they looked like flyers at the time, but they've really delivered so far for their teams. And I can't agree with you more. I thought we saw a wonderful performance out of him yesterday simply for how he was able to adjust. 28 pitch first inning. He talked about the conversation he had with Tommy Hotovy that I thought was so well-timed. That to me is a perfectly executed mound visit for what ended up resulting. And then to get the three straight strikeouts to end his outing the way he did when he was in that jam, those were such vintage moments for me to see him doing those things in those respective innings.
Yeah, I like the comparison with Rodon. It's because when you bring up that final inning for Arrieta, he can bring back a little bit of what he used to have, right? Occasionally we'll see flashes of, ooh, this guy's kind of nasty still. So it's not going to be there for 6-7 innings. You know, it can be a battle sometimes to get through 6 innings. But every once in a while, we'll see these flashes of greatness. And I think that's part of the aging process, right? That's part of what you see from veterans that have been around, that know how to use their stuff now, that may not have the same stuff. but they're learning how to really pitch with the, you know, I'm not pitching in upper mid-90s anymore. So how do I use this to get people out? Okay, I can still bring different things occasionally, and I can still be pretty nasty, but that's not going to be my full game. So you got to pick and choose your spots. Obviously, the sixth inning, trying to keep it at a one-run game. I mean, same thing as the first for me. I was impressed how he was able to do that. I was impressed with how he's able to keep that to a one-run game. In a situation that I was sure that game was about to be broken open, he didn't allow it.
In a mere 13 plate appearances for Nico Hoerner, he has already amassed 0.3 of a Fangraphs win. And that's pretty amazing. You wonder, are the Cubs simply a better team when he's around?
I think it's trending that way. I think I'll say this. I think he has an opportunity here to force their hand. If he continues to hit, if he continues to play really smart defense, how do you not keep him up, right? You can quiet all the service time issues, which I think, you know, I've written about. I don't believe this is driving this decision, but it's hard to quiet those when organizations have acted in bad faith for years. So how are you supposed to shut fans up when they point to it now, even if it's not one of the top 10 reasons why he's kept down? I appreciate that he brings contact to the lineup. He's made a slight tweak to his stance, which has allowed him, you know, a little more space to swing and get to balls that he may not have been able to get to on the inside and turn on. And I like watching Nico Hoerner because he's not going to be a superstar, right? He just isn't that type of player. And I hope fans don't put that on him and expect him to be the leader of the central piece of a future great Cubs team. He's going to be a peripheral part. He may be a leader in the clubhouse, off the field, stuff like that, but I think he just does a lot of little things. That double play we saw yesterday was just a smart play. Obviously, Javi was yelling at him, letting him know that the runner wasn't running, and he made the right play. That's a heads-up play in a situation where the game's still a one-run game. I like seeing little things like that and just put the ball in play. I know we talk about it a lot, but you hit the ball hard and put it in play, good things are going to happen.
I also appreciated the fact that you brought up what we've seen out of Ian Happ, that just because he's on our show every week, we're not saying that he's hitting into hard luck because we like talking to him. You also have an indication to back that up as well.
Yeah, I mean, I understand fans' frustration. You want results. Ian Happ needs to start getting results. I understand that. There's no denying that. We can't keep pointing to this. If this is happening in 3 months and he still has the same numbers, but he's still hitting the ball hard, eventually you need to get those results, right? I understand when Ian Happ says, I got to stick to my process. He's right. He can't abandon his process if he's hitting the ball hard, if he's taking his walks. Obviously, the strikeouts need to come down a little bit. He's going to be a strikeout guy, but I'd prefer it's below 30% for him. I think he can do that. I believe he'd agree with that. But, you know, part of baseball is bad luck. You have to work through those. You have to stick to your plan if it's working, if ultimately it's working. I like Ian Happ talking about expected stats. And I kind of just said to him, well, what if the expected stats say you're supposed to be bad and you're getting good results? He's like, well, then ignore them. He's like, you know, you got to play the mental games with yourself too. You got to, if you're getting results and the expected stats say something else, that's when you ignore them. And I get that. All athletes need to play little mental tricks with themselves to kind of get themselves right. You don't want to screw up your head because of some number that says, uh-oh, you're not doing this right. If you're getting results, just go out and play and stop overthinking things. But right now he's not getting results. I think he's taking a ton of pitches. I think he's seeing the ball well. I hope he can stick to it and get some results because I think it's unfair for fans that say, oh, he stinks, so he needs to be moved out of the leadoff spot or, you know, give the job to Jake Marisnyk. It's been like 5 games where Marisnyk looked good. I think that's, you know, let's not go to extremes here. I give him a chance to figure this out, get some results. If it's still happening a month from now, yeah, then we need to figure out what the next steps are.
Why is Eric Sogard such a ubiquitous presence? I don't get it. I don't really know what the fascination is other than maybe handedness in the lineup.
Yeah, I think it's contact. Again, it's a, you know, this team is searching for it. They don't have enough of it. You put his bat in the lineup, suddenly you have a guy that puts the ball in play. It's why we're seeing Sogard. It's why we're seeing Duffy. I mean, a lot of these guys bring little things that the team just doesn't have enough of. And they, like a guy like Duffy, right? He can hit good pitching. He can hit good stuff. He can put it in play at least, right? I think he was one of the few guys to get a hit off Woodruff, if I'm remembering my games correctly. And that's just what he can do. He can put the ball in play, and sometimes things happen. I think it's similarly with Sogard. I don't know if he's highly valuable other than that skill. I don't disagree that he probably shouldn't be getting too much playing time. Just get him some pinch hits occasionally, and if he needs a spot start here and there, I get it. But I think he has value as, you know, that extra guy, that final guy on the bench to kind of close out a roster.
So here we go with this road trip, a little more of a test right now. We'll see if this pitching profile that the Brewers have laid down, as Layla pointed out, if this becomes the book on this lineup.
Right. Yeah. I mean, isn't it the book though? Don't we have a lot of information on this? I'm not holding out hope that this offense suddenly becomes the consistent force that everyone wants them to be. And David Ross certainly believes they can be. I think you look at what they're doing. They do the things that they do well right now. They probably need to, you know what? They can be the offense that they should be, which is a power-hitting, patient offense. And they can be productive if they maybe raise their batting average by about 20, 30 points. They don't need to be top of the league in batting average. Be middle of the pack, hit for a ton of power, walk. Two things that they're doing. Go look at their ISO and go look at their walk rate. I believe they're both before yesterday's game, over the weekend, I was checking in. They were, you know, top five in both categories. They may have fallen slightly, but that's what they do best. Hit for power, take walks. They do that and hit for a slightly better average. It's a fine offense, and that's going to be exposed by certain pitchers, especially the elite ones. So, you know, I think we know what this offense is. I think we know what they can do well when they're going right. I just don't expect them to transform, and I certainly don't want fans to put the expectation, oh, Nico Hoerner can put the ball in play. That's a different aspect. Don't put it all on him to switch this offense into something that it's not.
Preach.
Sahadev Sharma, thank you as always. Appreciate it.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Sahadev.
Sahadev Sharma of The Athletic. I have a question for you. That question is three words. Who's your guy?
Yeah!
That is what's coming up. 312-644-6767. We are going to load up the phones, and we are going to learn about potential Chicago Bears and potential NFLers. We're going to do this for the next 4 days. At this time, it's next. Who's your guy on the score?
Lawrence Holmes, live from Chicago, middays noon to 2.
Talk with Steve Stone.
Checking the weather, it feels like 28 degrees in Cleveland. I think the bullpen could use a couple of days off. Maybe we'll see that.
Well, you just got your wish. You just spoke it into existence. The game is canceled tonight. You're good to go.
Wait a second. Did you just get that?
Yeah, it just came through. Like, literally, as you brought it up, the news came in from Cleveland that the game is canceled.
Well, how about that?
It's got to be Lawrence Holmes, live from Chicago, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and Odyssey Station. This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station. The Bernstein and Rahimi Show present Who's Your Guy on 670 The Score.
I woke up in a Soho store where a policeman knew my name.
Let's do it. Let's get this list of names going. You know the drill. You answer the simple question, and then we bring you the scouting report, thanks to Dane Brugler's draft guide from The Athletic that has really become the definitive tome with all of the scouty and coachy stuff that we enjoy. So, Layla, I will officially welcome you to it, to this score staple.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
And we'll start with Mike in Edgewater, who's going to be the first to answer the question. Mike, who's your guy?
Hi, I only saw him play in one game, but I fell in love. Florida quarterback Kyle Trask.
Kyle Trask of Florida, quarterback. He stands 6'5". He weighs 236 pounds. Here are his strengths.
Our leader, our hero, our fashion icon, our king of the prairie.
Sturdy, big-bodied passer, delivers with above-average timing, trajectory, and touch. Good enough arm strength to make every throw when he uses proper mechanics. Cerebral passer, understands where to go with the ball, quick to recognize pressures, stay composed and find his outlet. Small windows don't intimidate him. Sorry, he's picturing somebody walking through a house. It gives his targets a chance to make plays. Owns the size and toughness to be successful in short yardage runs. High character marks. Work ethic, low-key, intense competitive fire. Here are his weaknesses.
Poor, pathetic performance. Embarrassing, embarrassing total.
Heavy feet. Lacks the body quickness to consistently evade or reset versus NFL rushers. I love body quickness. Can't you say quickness?
No, but quickness is only of the body.
Body quickness. Lack of mobility, a hindrance on playmaking, below average consistency with mechanics, doesn't drive through his hips, poor zip, passes drag, precision and placement need to improve, anticipation up and down, needs to pull the trigger quicker, gaudy production boosted by scheme and talented targets. In summary, Trask is well-built, smart, and a tough competitor. Natural touch as a passer. His inconsistent mechanics and below-average mobility cap his ceiling as an NFL quarterback. He projects as a carbon copy of Mason Rudolph, a fourth-round grade on Florida quarterback Kyle Trask. Next, Dave and Berwyn, you're on the score. You know the question.
Dave and Berwyn, who's your guy?
My guy. Quiddy Pay, edge rusher, Michigan.
Quiddy Pay, the edge rusher from Michigan, standing 6'2", 261-pound senior, named after his maternal grandfather. His strength.
Bloodsport.
Oh,
that's
man.
His nickname.
Hey, listen.
He's
hey,
an MMA he's a, fighter. Yeah, his whole family's
he's a black belt.
Belts.
Yeah, man. Woo. You're going to be in the alley. That's the guy you want to be on your side.
Love it. His strengths, twitchy lower body, launches out of his stance, maintains his low pad level mid-rush. A slithery athlete who uses his lateral quickness to work around blocks and knife through gaps, uses his hands to dispose of blockers' wrists at the top of the rush, gets underneath blockers to create movement. His weaknesses.
He's not Brandon Marshall crazy, but he's a bit of a wackadoodle.
Underdeveloped pass rush plan and countering skills. Violent hands. Not just any kind of hands. Violent hands.
Not violin hands. Those are different.
They are also yeah. different from viola hands, which would be mine. But his attack is simplistic and lacks diversity. His speed to power rush will stall out. Room to improve his timing at the snap. More of a C-ball, get-ball defender and late to anticipate. Can be caught in no man's land on zone reads. Needs to better reset his eyes with motion blocks, additionally his hands. Battled numerous nagging injuries throughout his career, missing 2 games as a senior in November of 2020. Unimpressive backfield production with only 11.5 career sacks. In summary, Pay's pass rush toolbox isn't very deep right now, but he is a compact, explosive athlete with menacing energy and toughness versus the run. He projects as a dynamic, scheme-versatile NFL starter once his skills are developed. The grade is first round, 19 overall for Quiddy Pay.
Ooh, like it. Josh in Portage Park. We have a Josh story coming up in the next segment, actually. Josh, you're on the score. Who's your guy?
Let's talk about some more quarterbacks who'll be great somewhere besides Chicago. How about Jamie Newman, quarterback, Wake Forest?
Wow, he's already got him great. Well, let's see what Dane Brugler thinks. Jamie Newman, he is 6'2.5", 234. Positives.
He's an alpha. I mean, he is not afraid to butt somebody up.
Thick, solidly built frame. We're in trouble if that's the first strength. Agile athlete, will occasionally make defenders miss. Excellent run strength, doesn't go down easy, keeps his balance through contact. Adequate arm strength, able to change velocity and trajectory to place throws between defenders. Strong back shoulder passer, shows a basic understanding of how to use his eyes and hold defenders. Steady nerves, noticeable confidence, even-keeled personality, vocal leader, hard worker. Weaknesses.
He was murdered and then set on fire while celebrating his birthday.
Understands the importance of ball placement, but doesn't consistently hit his mark. Holds the ball too long in the pocket, needs to see things quicker and get the ball up and gone. Shaky pocket presence. Needs to improve his feel for pressure. Inconsistent movement. Holds the ball too loose when scrambling. In summary, Newman, a sturdy, mobile, confident quarterback, but his underdeveloped reads and pocket presence complicate his NFL evaluation, which lowers his floor as a prospect. His ceiling is a Jacoby Brissett style of passer. The grade, 6th to 7th round on Georgia quarterback Jamie Newman. Which brings us to Joey in DeKalb on the score. Hey, Joey.
Joey in DeKalb, who's your guy?
My guy is Christian Darrisaw, offensive tackle out of Virginia Tech.
Christian Darrisaw out of Virginia Tech, standing 6'4" and just over a half, 322-pound junior.
He's got his shirt off, he's got the gold chain flowing, and now he's drenching me with beer.
His strengths: a girthy, well-distributed frame, quick out of his stance to win body angles and shield defenders. A tad heavy, aren't we all, but stays coordinated mid-shuffle to sit in his stance and remain square to rushers. Shows the ability to thud with his physical hands, locking out and stonewalling rushers. You like hearing that? Stays patient in his pass sets and uses a flexible coil to pass rushers wide of the pocket. Balanced, once engaged to steer defenders in the run game, carries his weight as a puller well, gets his hips turned into the hole to seal, climbs to the linebacker level, and escorts his target away from the play. Introverted personality, but work ethic has not been a question for him. His coaches have highlighted his toughness. Virginia Tech head coach Justin Fuente said he's an absolute warrior, and he started all but 2 games at left tackle the last 3 seasons.
Sounds good to me.
His weaknesses:
the kid is a L7 weenie.
I love that, L7. There we go. Girthy, we already said that. Weaknesses: gives up ground when he doesn't play strong or accurate with his hands. Could improve his base strength with better knee bend at the point of attack. Doesn't always dominate his opponent like he should, pushing his target instead of controlling. Needs to consistently fight through the whistle. Showing the bad habit of winning quickly and then becoming a spectator, will play down to his competition. Doesn't have elite lateral quickness, too reactive at times, leading to grabby hands. Missed 1 game as a junior due to a left knee sprain. That was in November 2020. In summary, he wishes Darrisaw was more of a consistent finisher, but he has outstanding body control and feet for a man his size, and he shows the technique and torque to be an NFL starter, either at tackle or guard. The grade, 1st round, expected number 17 overall.
Wow. I didn't think that was coming. Okay, so that's Christian Darrisaw, tackle, or potentially guard.
Yes.
Westside Andrew, who's your guy?
My guy is Sam Ehlinger, starting quarterback for the Texas Longhorns.
Sam Ehlinger. I'm Mr. Quarterback today, apparently. Sam Ehlinger stands 6'1 and weighs 220 pounds. His positives:
this guy's pretty cool. He knows his.
Compactly built with a durable body type, outstanding toughness in the pocket and as a runner, mobile athlete, outracing defenders to the edge or to the sticks, keeps his eyes downfield while buying extra half seconds with his legs. Welcomes the rush because of his confidence to make blitzers miss and extend plays. Delivers the football with zip when he steps into his throws. Set the Big 12 record for passes without an interception. Consistently delivered in late game situations. Very mature. Gets along with everyone. His weaknesses:
he was only in charge of the groceries in Dallas, right?
Not an anticipation thrower. Doesn't play with consistent rhythm in his progressions or load and delivery, which leads to accuracy issues. Doesn't consistently lead his targets. His ball placement wavers. Plays tough, but not always poised when the walls start to close in, which creates frantic movements and decisions. Not shy dropping his pads into contact, leading to head and shoulder injuries. battled numerous minor injuries over his career. The summary, Ellinger is not an anticipation thrower. His pocket presence leaves a lot to be desired, but his competitive toughness and dual threat ability give him a chance to be a backup in the right situation, similar in ways to Jalen Hurts' evaluation. He projects as a 6th to 7th round pick. That is Texas quarterback Sam Ellinger. Here is Corey in Whitewater on the score. Fire away, Corey.
Hi, my guy is Warhawk, the Belly King, Quinn Meinertz, center, University of Wisconsin, Whitewater.
I love it. The big sexy from the Senior Bowl himself. I knew somebody was going to ask about Quinn Meinertz. He was my example for this entire Who's Your Guy practice. So I thank you. Quinn Meinertz, the center out of UW-Dub, standing at 6'2", 320-pound senior. His strengths.
He made use of American just screensaver.
I think that's appropriate. His strengths. Excellent snap quickness and setup. Plays with bent knees, long arms, and a low center of gravity in his pass sets. Moves with athletic feet and hips to the side or redirect versus gap quickness. Stuns with a controlled, well-placed punch and stays balanced through contact. Latches with his physical hands in the run game and drives his feet to create movement. Bulldog of a finisher with a mean, fierce demeanor. Self-made player who has worked tirelessly to get to this point. Glass eater with a genuine love for football. This is our guy, which is also clear in practice and in the weight room. He has a high threshold for pain. He played through a broken hand during Senior Bowl practices.
Truck does not have heat or air conditioning.
Heck no. He was the rare underclassman who earned captainship at Whitewater, self-taught snapper, and offers guard center flexibility. I'm so glad my judgment on him.
Self-taught snapper.
I'm so glad that my judgment on him was sound. Weaknesses. Are there any?
Chris Paul tried to get in the locker room. Get down here and save me.
Inexperience versus top competition, playing at the Division III level. Okay. Allows the hands of defenders into his body. Can get tossed when his base narrows and his weight overextends past his toes. Has NFL quality core strength, but can be late to recover once defenders gain the upper hand. May struggle to turn defenders at the pro level. His Senior Bowl was much improved, but his weighted movements had a sloppy element on tape. Mm-hmm. Playing inefficient and top-heavy. Played tackle in high school and only played left guard in college and will require further development at center. And somehow the strength is also the weakness that he suffered a broken bone in his right hand at the Senior Bowl. That's just the injury update. So in summary, Meinertz was the left guard in offensive coordinator Peter Jennings' zone scheme as a 2-year starter at Wisconsin Whitewater. Considered a borderline NFL draft pickup after his junior year, he didn't have a 2020 college football season, but spent the year training, reshaped his body, and honed his skills, which was on display during his impressive Senior Bowl performance. He's quick and controlled post-snap with the hard timing, core strength, and finishing effort to impose his will. Overall, Meinertz faces a substantial uptick in competition at the NFL level, but his power, technique, and play personality translate well into the pro game. He is projected as a starting center with guard versatility. The grade, a bargain, I'd say. Second round, number 54 overall.
We will do one more for today. We'll be doing this every day at 10:20. Jake in Fremont is on the score. Jake, who's your guy?
Hamza Nasruldeen, safety, Florida State.
Hamza Nasruldeen of Florida State stands 6'3". He weighs 215. Here are his positives.
His parents were both members of Future Farmers of America.
Sports, an oversized, stretched-out frame with remarkable limb length.
How could you be oversized and stretched out?
I don't know, but he has remarkable length of limbs. Quick-footed, coordinated in his transitions, downhill player, fills quickly and powerfully at contact, makes form tackles when he can square up his target, strikes with the force to jar ball carriers and knock the ball loose. Improved awareness, took positive steps in coverage compared to the previous year. Asks key questions during meetings. Very much a team player, quiet personality, but coachable. Here are his negatives.
I don't know what it is about your face, but I want to deliver one of these right in your suck hole.
Position fit concerns with his linebacker safety tweener skill set. Needs to eliminate the flyby tackles. Doesn't consistently play through blockers with his eyes. needs to better anticipate blockers' landmarks to play out in front, can be manipulated in deep coverage when he focuses more on the backfield than the wide receiver. Late recovery skills to make up a lost step in coverage. In summary, Nasrul Deen comes with position fit questions in base and requires a defined role, but he is a super long downhill force player with moldable physical traits. He projects as a hybrid box safety and core special teamer. A projected third-round pick, Hamza Nasrul Deen, defensive back, Florida State. Nicely done, well covered, well handled, well played. That is Who's Your Guy for today. We have three more sessions with which we will build out our roster of scouted players thanks to the Dane Brugler draft guide with The Athletic. Next up in Midday Midway, the Josh fight.
I can't top that, except when Peacock was trending on Twitter and it wasn't referring to the network I used to work for, I got intrigued. You will be rewarded.
Next on the Midday Midway on The Score.
It's draft time, Bears fans. Thursday night, 6:30 to 10. Our team of football experts will be covering the Bears' first-round pick live.
The Chicago Bears select Cole Kmet.
Caught for the touchdown, Cole Kmet.
Featuring the voices of the Bears, Jeff Joniak and Tom Thayer. Score football experts, Hav Arkish, Mark Grody, Hall of Fame writer, Dan Pompey, and 670thescore.com's Chris Emma. Due to the Cubs game, our draft coverage of round one will be on News Radio 780. What direction will Ryan Pace go with the 20th pick? Will they trade up or down? Listen to The Score's 2021 NFL draft coverage on News Radio 780 and Odyssey Station.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
The first half or the second half, you know, it's they're two equal times.
Now, Midway.
The Midday Midway.
Once, twice, way. The most important of the year. Three times, four times.
The most exciting thing on the Midway.
Five, six, seven, eight.
Our objective is Midway.
Nine, ten.
You guys gotta meet me halfway out there.
So real, you can almost feel
the Midday Midway with Bernstein and Rahimi. Middays 9 a.m. to noon on The Score.
We like to give a little bit more time for Who's Your Guy, so we could be getting to this a little bit late, but that's okay because we've had a lot to do today. We gave the Denzel Valentine shot the shot its rightful due as it deserved, because oh my god, we don't know what it was, we don't know why it was, we just know that it was, and we looked at it from every possible angle.
You could have beaten the Heat.
No, he didn't want to. He wanted to shoot it from 40 feet because it was his time. He was in the moment. He was feeling himself, and it was the air ball heard around the NBA. We also talked Cubs with Sahadev Sharma, and we did Who's Your Guy, which we're going to do at 10:20 up through Thursday.
That's Steph Curry range right there. Come on.
I can't. Perhaps it is appropriate that a peacock is my story for the Midday Midway today, because Denzel Valentine certainly was peacocking. A San Antonio man showed up to work on Saturday to find a gorgeous peacock standing guard and he couldn't get in. The picture is really great. There's this like gorgeous peacock with like a really long tail, because, you know, when they're not standing up, they lie down and then they take up a lot of space still. Just standing in front of this doorway. Jim Daly, a research assistant professor at the University of Texas Health Science Center at San Antonio, said he had plans to put in some work in the last lab on Saturday afternoon when he and a small crowd of others found a creature in their way. Peacock lay facing a wall with its wings folded neatly and blocking the door. And it's just sitting there, all spunky and peacock-like.
Can't you just move it out of there? It's not a cassowary. It's not going to disembowel you.
You don't know that. Have you ever faced off with a peacock?
No, I've seen one in the wild. Like, I mean, if you go to Brookfield Zoo, they used to be walking around.
Well, according to this, nobody wanted to approach the peacock because they're known to be sort of aggressive. And it's true. Though incredibly colorful and beautiful, peacocks have a certain reputation. This sounds like people I know. They are territorial, especially during mating season, and have sharp beaks and talons. The bird can also produce a piercing shriek that may or may not contribute to most people being hesitant to get too close. It does sound like people I know. Maybe also me. The wise group decided it was best to leave the animal alone, but called campus security to take care of the matter. You see like a security guard rolling up to a peacock just sitting there?
gets out of his Chrysler K car and with his taser on his hip and goes, oh, you listen here.
Yeah, and the peacock's just chilling with its blue and greenness and its little top knot all pretty. The wise group decided, as we said, to leave the animal alone. And since security took a while to show up, Daly said he and most of the crowd waiting by the door ended up using another entrance to get inside the building. He said he eventually saw the peacock walk away on its own from his lab window just before security arrived, so no major drama.
That's a feather in his cap.
Earlier this week, an amusing screenshot of a Facebook conversation made the rounds around the internet, which a man named Josh messaged other men named Josh and informed them they would have a battle to decide who is the one true Josh. According to the Big Lead, it's one of those things you see, you chuckle at, then you forget about for the rest of your life, the life of a short attention span and unnaturally smooth brain. He said, that's what happened to me. Imagine my surprise when I saw the hashtag Josh Fight was trending on Twitter. It turns out the Josh Fight was very real and very funny. The coordinates relayed in Josh Swain's were in Nebraska. Every Josh who saw the viral message and lived in the general area scrambled to be part of the Josh Fight, and many dressed up.
As Josh's?
He said, now is the time where I acknowledge this is not a smart thing to do during a pandemic, but I see a good amount of masks. Statistically, there are probably more than a few fully vaccinated individuals. We're getting closer to the point where we don't have to actively think about how close other people are to one another in a viral video. Let's all get that vaccine. Thank you for saying that. And then he said that he has all these tidbits from the Josh fight. People were hitting each other with pool noodles. And I don't know how they settled everything between the Joshes. There was one Josh. There was another Josh Swains that showed up. And then they tried to determine who would be the official Josh Swains. And there's video of everybody wielding pool noodles and just smacking each other. And apparently a five-year-old Josh was chosen to be the destroyer of all the Joshes and the King Josh.
Aww.
A five-year-old, and they gave him a Burger King crown, an actual Burger King crown, and he ends up being the last Josh standing. I don't know how it was decided, but everybody got together, and once they had enough of whacking with pool noodles, they declared young Josh the King of Joshes.
I love that. That ended well.
And this was a nice thing that stayed nice and didn't get milkshake ducked. It will turn out that five-year-old Josh is a virulent racist. That's how this ends, right?
No, I don't think so. Not in this case.
No.
Also, doesn't that sound like fun to just whack a bunch of people with pool noodles? Why do you have to be named Josh to do this?
Well, you could have a Layla fight.
Who would I fight?
I don't know.
I know two people named Layla Rahimi. One is a model. The other is a researcher for Johns Hopkins.
That's not the point. Is that what they do for a living? It's could you take them in a fight?
The Layla Rahimi model, yeah, because she weighs 4 pounds.
Yeah, she didn't eat breakfast.
But the other Layla
She's
Rahimi.
She's not mentally tough.
Yeah, the other Layla Rahimi is pretty cool. We all know about each other.
Not Layla Rimini. We'd probably kick all your asses.
She would. We follow each other on Twitter now. That was my greatest victory last year.
Josh Hamilton.
What just happened?
That was at the All-Star Game. That was the PA announcement for Josh.
Center fielder, Josh Hamilton.
Josh Hamilton.
Wasn't that in Arlington? That sounds like it was. That was Chuck. Who did? Oh dear.
Josh Hamilton.
That's the Midday Midway that we do around this time. Steve Stone will talk White Sox with us next. I need to find out why they're not making a move that I think would be an obvious move at this point, because I don't think there's a satisfying answer to it. But if anybody can provide one, it's Stoney, who gave us some passive-aggressive fun, too, talking about the opposing starting pitcher, as you pointed out in the group chat. He's coming up next on The Score.
Vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.